Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 389 of the Maritime Paintball Podcast. Donna coming in the last second.
Coming in hot, just how we like it. Yeah, that's coming in way to do it.
With that Exalt, what is that, a hoodie? Exalt hoodie, or is that a jersey? What are we looking at there?
No, this is our staff shirt, actually.
We need staff shirts. That's what we need. We need podcast staff shirts.
Not tonight, I am rocking for the man, the myth, the legends. I found my sweater. I'm like, it hasn't been pilfered. So I'm like,
very nice. I'm rocking Old Navy.
That's okay. You're comfy cozy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got ourselves some Christopher Strutt giving us our history. The Canadian Cunt was on last year. We love our cat. And some people who were opening a field in Newfoundland, which is always nice to see.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Newfoundland.
Brad's losing it over there. I'm very happy. This is wonderful that this.
Oh, now I'm involved. Okay. That's now it's personal. Now the podcast is dragged.
There's some cutscenes in French going on here.
Amazing. So, oh my God, my phone is just blowing up now. Brittany's asking if she comes out, if she'll be seen on camera. there's a, an ongoing feud between Thomas Bork and Thomas Bork, because Thomas Bork is the king of paintball, but Thomas Bork believes that he's the king of paintball. So
right.
We need to figure out which Thomas Bork is the right Thomas Bork.
This is all making sense to me now. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So I guess it's long live Thomas Bork.
It works both ways, I guess.
Yeah, so it's going to be great for D-Day. Look, Nova Paintball's in the chat. What's happening? The baby's awake. So, folks, now we got that out of the way. That's done.
That was great.
Our special guest, Donna Langman from Wasaga Adventure Park. Everyone calls it Wasaga Paintball. But it's technically an adventure park.
For a lot of years it was. And it's just recently in 2018 that we rebranded, right? Yeah. So, Wasaga Paintball. We still have put our logo out as Wasaga Paintball because, I mean, it's just iconic. It's been around for so long that we still put it out there. But Wasaga Adventure Park, we switched to 2018 because we added a lot of things. We already did laser tag, but we added archery tag. We added axe throwing, gel blasters. We did do escape rooms for a while, but oh my gosh, the maintenance on that and the training you have to do, and then people just wreck things and you make no money. So I was like, we're out.
That sounds like a terrible business plan.
How can you survive, honestly? I don't know. But we also added low impact, which I hear is like super popular in the States. It's really not super popular for us yet. I can see that it's growing for sure, the low impact. Something that we're just starting new is a low impact league, Woodsball League, for 9 to 14-year-olds. So that's a new thing that we've got in the works. And it's people that are asking us, saying, can you please make this league for low impact paintball? So I thought, okay, I guess here we go. We're going to do more low impact.
That's pretty cool. I mean, the idea of a low impact league, it's great for the young ones, but it also sounds like just a really chill way to spend an afternoon as an adult. You know, like, I think when we were over at Commando and Dave came out of nowhere with a couple of Jelly Blasters, and we just, everyone went from the ages of 30 to 40 to 8.
Oh, yeah.
And just ran around like idiots with these little Jelly Blasters. So they're fantastic.
Yeah, we kind of say Gel Blasters is just fun chaos for all ages, honestly.
It's amazing. They're so cool. I want to get some for my stepson. So when he comes to the paintball field with me, he can play some Jelly Ball or Gel Blaster or whatever it is.
I would recommend they have these new ones out that are waterproof, they say. I don't have any yet, but I'm hoping to get some. So if you're going to get one, go for the waterproof one, because then you can just play anywhere. It's the problem. It is a problem with water because the gelettes are expanded in water. And so then the water can leak down into the gun and it just causes a problem. So you want to avoid water, but you can't avoid water. So get the waterproof one.
So it's, that seems like a terrible design flaw.
Oh, believe me, I have a bunch of them that are terrible, but they've improved on it. So I'm going to upgrade my
fleet. Yeah, we'll have to dig into that.
They're clearly better than the Nerf ones, because those were not good.
No.
So you get what you pay for.
We do Nerf too. I forgot about that, but only mobile now because everything's outside. And honestly, my staff don't want to pick up Nerf bullets outside. So.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, that sounds
not fun, right?
No, my back hurts just thinking about having to go around and pick up all of these little Nerf darts. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely not. So Donna, for those that don't, I mean, everybody knows who you are, but for those two people that live under a rock, let's get a little bit of your background and then we'll talk about kind of like where Wasaga paintball came from and then where it is now. And we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff, including the big game, Beach Blitz. I didn't know you, the village in the Dominican Republic. We have to talk about that.
Yes, I would love to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. So let's start at the beginning and we'll work our way through.
The beginning. I was born on a warm summer night in July. I'm a July baby. Around the same time about the moon landing. So that tells you how old I might be. So we were married in 1993, but the adventure park, the paintball park was started in 1992. I was still around at that time. We just weren't married yet. Something some people may not know is I was a teacher. So I was teaching during the week and I was doing the adventure park on weekends and in the summer. So, and then gradually, I was a school teacher. Yes.
You were the cool teacher.
Now that she says that, I'm looking at her going, yep.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I totally was because I had a paintball park, right? So every Victoria Day weekend was when I would bring my kids out to play paintball. And of course, they all would try to shoot me. Only once did a parent ever get me. So so that was pretty fun. So I was definitely the cool teacher. And I taught mostly grade 7 and 8. I love that grade. I mean, it's the most difficult grade. You have the most work to do. But the kids are hilarious. And they still think you're cool. So that's kind of nice. And they're fairly independent. They can do most things on their own. So that's awesome.
That's really the right age, too, for paintball.
Yeah.
Grade 7, really grade 8. That is just grade 6, 7, 8. That's the right time to start letting other people shoot your children. I mean, letting someone else beat your children. I mean.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes.
As long as they come home exhausted and then they just sleep through the night.
Mm. That is the goal, actually, to wear them out in our day camp, especially. But so I was a teacher and as time went on, you know, we got married and we started having children. And so I wanted to wean myself out of working at the park. I still did executive functions and I still did a lot of the marketing, but we have four children. So the oldest is 27 and the youngest is 18. And, but back then I was being the stay at home mom, but also that's when we started doing our work down in the Dominican Republic, which I'll talk about a bit later, but I want to explain how how I, why am I so active now? And that's because in 2008, my husband, Steve, who was running the park with our managers, we had amazing managers, by the way, shout out to Larry and Christine Brownridge, and also Chris Vincent, who we called Taco. They were with us. Taco was with us 18 years. Christine was with us for 20 years.
Wow.
And so, yeah, long time. So those guys were really super helpful, especially when my husband had a traumatic brain injury in 2008. So I spent 2 years working on getting him back to, because he was in a coma for 3 weeks and in the hospital for 5 months.
Wow.
And yeah, like he's a walking miracle, honestly. He is, they gave him a prognosis that he probably won't wake up. And if he does wake up, he's going to be in a vegetative state. And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. No. And thankfully, God loves us very much. And I prayed my heart out and he listened. And so we got some real miracles that happened, and he's doing amazing. But for 2 years, we had to teach him to do everything all over again, which was talk, walk, eat,
that all would of those be things. Intense.
Oh, it was. Oh, my gosh. I was basically a zombie walking around for 2 years. But and plus, like I said, we had four children, right? They were young. Oof. They were 11 was the oldest, and 3 was the youngest. So Larry and Christine and Taco were very, very helpful during this time, like really supportive, amazing. Our managers were just amazing. And so, but I went back to work part-time at the park, the paintball park, to learn how they were running it, because I knew I'd have to teach my husband how to run the park again. So yeah, Krista, we're happy you're around, Krista. We love you. After that, I had to go back to work full time, and Eli.
Eli St. Donald.
Eli, yep. Eli's calling it. He calls it like he sees it. And, Eli.
He's a good man. So
one of the best.
He is. So we, I went back to work, and we had to teach him how to do some of the things there again. And I had to learn again how to run the park. And and so then Larry and Christine, they got their dream job in Alberta. So they headed off to Alberta, and Taco got headhunted because he was a really talented graphic design artist. So I was left with all of this. And I thought, okay, wow. What do I do? Do I sell this place, or do I keep it so my husband has a place to be? Because where is he going to work, right? Where is he going to work? He's not going to work anywhere else, probably. So decided that I had to buckle down and I had to get back to work. So I put my head down and got to work.
I had to be a badass. And I said, I'm going to be a badass. And I was.
That's right.
This whole situation was Tuesday.
This would have folded any other business.
Yeah.
Like that would have just been the end. And you're just like, nah, we're going to do this. We're just going to keep it going. That's just that's just what we're doing. Like it's wow.
I knew it was going to be hard, and it was hard, but you know, really fantastic community. You guys know, like the paintball community is great. And people were very gracious and very helpful. And, God brought people into our lives that have worked out to be really fantastic and helped us along the way. So now we have another set of managers. So we have Natalie is our main manager, and then Dan is also around. And those guys, we've known those guys forever. Like, I don't know, 20-ish years we have to have known those guys. And it just was funny. We were trying to decide what we were going to do, because we need help, right? So we need some support. So what are we going to do? They called us and said, hey, we hadn't talked in a couple of years. And, they said, what are you guys up to? And we kind of told our plan that we're looking for some people to be us, you know? And then we asked them, well, what are you guys doing? And they said, we're not liking our job anymore, and we can't live in our house anymore. And we're in a moment of flux. And we were like, hey, that's funny. You know, let's meet for lunch and talk about this. So, So we did. So those guys are, you'll see their faces over there a lot. And then we have Cody Karras. Do you guys know Cody Karras? Mm-hmm. He's around a lot. And so I think he's been on the show, Brad.
Yep.
I think he was on the show. So Cody came along and he fit in super nicely. So he looks after a lot of my events and he looks after the pro shop and online store and all that stuff. So yeah, I couldn't do it without those guys, honestly. And then also like the animal pack, which is Krista, that was earlier you had up there. So we've got some really great customers that are ready to dive in and what do you need? So it's great.
Wow.
So we're making it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's your Wasaga is now, I would say, one of the premier fields in Canada. Like everybody knows about Wasaga. Everyone knows about Wasaga's big game. And like, that's a huge, huge thing. Cause it's always, you know, people ask like, where are you going? Well, I'm going to go to Commando's D-Day and then I'm going to go to Wasaga's big game. Like it's always those two. Like they're just like, that's where we're going. That's what we're doing. Right.
They're so,
my mom says she's got family from up, that's where her family's from. So it sounds like it's a pretty good place.
And, it's a great place.
I want to go to the big game. That's my like. I have yet to get to the Wasaga big game, and I need to go. Holy crap! Bricktop's in the chat. I haven't talked to that man in years. so yeah, it's on the list. It's got we got to go because the video.
You got to come.
I need to. I do. Hopefully, I can find the time and the money. So babies are expensive.
So, yes. Yeah.
And the 5-year-old is eating us out of house and home. So
just wait till they get bigger. Wait till they become teenagers and then wait till they like head off.
I'm going to just teach them how to graze. I'm just going to be like, learn how to eat grass, boy. Go out and just go scavenge.
Forage for yourself. You'll be fine.
Forage. Yeah. Yeah. Don't eat the blue mushrooms. Or do
you sell those ones? No, you don't eat them. You sell them. Come on, boy. There you go. You're my son. Like, you know what to do with those. Let's like, don't take them. Don't use your own supply. Come on now.
Yeah.
You're smarter than that.
Yeah, so, yeah. Wow. Sorry. The chat is like flying past Frosty's Revenge.
Oh yeah. Okay. So we have our big game in August, but we also have our Frosty's Revenge that comes up in March. It's like a mini big game. So it really is kind of, it's kind of signified the start to the season for most people, the hardcore ones that don't mind the cold. Mm-hmm. But this year it's like super mild, but other years, wow, it's been either really cold or we've had snow up to your waist. Hey, did you guys get all that snow?
No, we dodged it.
Oh, good for you. Wow. Yeah, I saw pictures of that. That
declared a state of emergency because they've got like 150 centimeters of snow. We got, geez, I don't know, 6 centimeters, 7 centimeters of snow.
Okay.
Like we got almost nothing.
Yeah, it was very minor here.
It's very manageable.
Yeah. Yeah, it was almost nothing. So, so those big games that are happening, they're more than just a big paintball game, though. You kind of do on like a big whole thing, right? Like it's more of a.
Yeah. So, well, Frosty's is just a one day thing, but the big game in August. That's a whole weekend. Like plan the whole weekend. On Friday night we have challenges and we give away great prizes. We give away markers. So the Titman challenge is a 1v1. And then we do the First Strike Action Challenge. That is a timed, it's like an IPSC event, and we give away a First Strike pistol. And then we have the Eclipse Fastest Gun in the North. Sorry, I think that's me dinging. And that's a target shoot. So I think it's 20 targets and, you have 20 paintballs and so you got to hit down as many as you can in a short time. And I wish I had the time, like Dan, I can't think of his last name, Fez McCormick. McCormick. No, Macintosh. I can't remember. Dan, who's called Fez, he's one of our Beach Boys, but for some reason my mind is gapping his last name. He had like this superhuman time. Like it was incredible. It's gonna be hard to beat, but cool. So we do that on Friday nights, those three challenges along with the pig roast, and we also have all the vendor village that's open then. And we have a DJ, and it's got a good vibe. So that's on Friday night. Saturday is the big game. And so that's where we have our missions and all the perks and the tank and everything like that going on. We give away a ton.
A ton
of prizes.
Tank.
Yes. We always have a
tank. See
you
in August.
Or two.
See you in August.
See you in August.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the tanks you see in Europe, but you know, this is a tank you get to go in and yeah, you get lit up, but it's super fun.
I'm lit up wherever I go anyways. I'll see you in August.
We'll figure it out. We'll find a way.
I really hope you come in August. I would love to have you guys. Honestly, I'd love to.
I'm sitting here like looking at flights for like March. I'm like, there's no way I can justify this. Why am I looking at flights for March? I'm like, fuck it. We're just going to go in August anyways. But yeah.
Well, definitely come in August.
How far of a drive is it to Wasaga?
It's not that far.
Oh, it's not that bad.
It's not that far. We've had this conversation before.
Yeah. I think we have.
What's it say?
I'm pretty sure I've actually looked up specifically like to Wasaga. Come on. There we go. 14 hours if we don't.
Oh.
You drive straight through. I can do that standing
on my head.
Pack snacks.
14 hours.
Yep. It's 14 hours.
There's a couple stops we have to make along the way anyways. We can do that. That's easy.
Hey, convince your family it's a family vacation because we are the world's longest freshwater beach. All right. So we have all these really cute cabins, or you can rent a house, and we've got the world's longest beach. It's amazing. It's super, like, your kids are young, so it's super warm and it's super shallow. So you never have to worry about your kids. You sit on the beach and they play in the shallow water and
let him graze.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll figure it out. We're going to make August work.
I'm thinking we're going to have to find a way to make this work.
Yeah.
We have campsites, like a ton of campsites nearby as well. And here's a great thing. This year we're partnering with a bunch of local businesses in hopes that you might want to come and stay longer. So you're going to get a discount off some accommodations, also campgrounds, and some of the other attractions that are in town. You're going to get some discounts there too. So
show me a half decent hotel.
Yeah, that's
where I am a prissy bitch and do not like camping.
Are you?
Oh,
Tom and I are both too old to lie on the ground.
It's not a matter of being too old. I was the same way when I was young. My mother just taught me, you don't sleep. No. We don't sleep on the ground. I mean, my mother sleeping in a Hotel 6 was bad. A Motel 8, like a travel lodge, was bad. I'm like, I'll sleep there. Is there a bed? Yeah. I can throw a plastic tarp on it as long as I can shut the door. But sleeping on the ground? Nope.
We don't have any, like, brand name hotels here, but we do have some hotels.
No, that's fine. Sure. The biggest thing is running water.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to concerts, and that's always been my thing. Listen, I'll pay to sleep anywhere. I want to be able to use the can first thing in the morning, have a shower and a shave. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that.
I want porcelain. Not blue plastic.
No. Yeah. Porta-bogs. Well, porta-bogs are not fun.
Here's the thing. Also, like, we bring in porta potties so that everybody can go when they need to go, but we have indoor washrooms. We have nice, beautiful stalls for you. Urinals for the guys too. Oh. Yeah. So,
which I'm not is not an animal.
Not
I'm
every
not an
football
animal.
Field has that, but
no. I do judge a field. I've walked onto a couple really nice fields and been like, "Where's the bog?" They're like, "Oh, they're it's this one porta potty." I'm like,
okay. I went to a field that had an actual outhouse. It was literally a wooden shack with a hole in the ground.
Oh gosh.
That was yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not us.
No.
Yeah.
So we're obviously going
hold
to
on, hold on. Okay. You know what? If I wasn't sold about let's see about August, I am now sold.
Thanks, Andrea.
Andrea,
she knows.
You are the shit and I love you.
Done.
Yeah, we have some really good bathroom cleaners, actually. Some of our staff, like, are really good at it. So our bathrooms are clean, too.
Here will be the judge.
Yeah, I'll come ask you.
Yeah, I have a minor phobia. It's nobody's fault, but clean bathroom's a clean bathroom. But it's, again, it's a paintball field. It's not a kitchen. There's a massive difference here. Like,
but there's
I'm not
nice.
Eating off the floor of the paintball field, but
yeah. So let me tell you about Sunday, because Saturday's the game, but Sunday is also, it's like a whole weekend thing. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a big game. Sunday we have the pistol, the PPP, GTPPP. I forget what it's called. But that's our Sunday pump tournament, which is very fun. And that's put on by Guillermo. And then we also have a stock class event. And then we also do speedball on that day. And you get, and that's all included with your entry. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is all included with your entry. So it's a great time.
A third day of paintball sounds worth the suffering.
This sounds like, it sounds like the whole thing would just be so fun to shoot a vlog for. I would have an absolute blast videoing everything. Maybe not the 14-hour drive, but once we get there, it sounds
there's
like
a lot of stuff you can't. Yeah, you can't show a lot of those that footage. Yeah.
There's a lot of incriminating footage that happens on a 14-hour drive.
I spend a lot of time singing. It's awful.
Sounds like a blast. So we'll have to make August work. We'll work on the logistics later. So those are your big games. Let's talk about this village that you have in the Dominican Republic. I'm really intrigued by that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. I'm sure lots of people know that Steve and I have a very strong faith, and so we wanted to serve in some way, and we actually didn't mean to do this, honestly. Yes, Whit. I'm reading the comments. You guys are awesome. When I was in that time where we were raising our kids, we only had two children at the time, and we went to the Dominican Republic on a holiday, and we'd been there the year before. We had friends that worked there, so we would go down and we'd visit them, and we didn't take kids that year, but then the next year we went, we did take our kids. We only had two at the time. So, and our friends, we had done some things traveling around with them, Joy and Brian Turner, and they said, well, we have to go back to work, but we're going to put you up on this bed and breakfast that's close to the airport, and then you can have a great time, you know, at this bed and breakfast. It's really nice. And so we got there, and I said, this place seems kind of not a bed and breakfast. Like, there's clothes in the closet, and there's, like, you know, other people's things here. Doesn't seem like an organized, you know, B&B. So then we had just gotten over the flu. Steve was still not well. So we were laying kind of low. And then on the last day that we were about to leave, the woman that ran this, you know, B&B, she said, we do a few things around here. Did you want to look around and come with us? And we said, yeah, sure. So we went with her, and we ended up at the dump, and we were feeding them lunch. And that's, I turned to my husband. I was like, yeah, this is not an Airbnb, or this is not a B&B. Okay. This is not something you do at a B&B. And, we just met some amazing people. We met this woman, her name was Maria, and she wanted to get married, and she couldn't because she was looking for her lunch in the dump. And so, you know, she couldn't afford the ring and the pastor. And so my friend Jana was her name, that the lady that ran the B&B, she said, you know, I looked into getting her a dress at $70, and, you know, how she's might as well be $1 million. And I said, well, what if I brought you a dress? Like, would that help? And she said, you can bring me a dress. And I said, well, oh my gosh, how many women in North America have a dress, a wedding dress in their closet, right?
That they wore once and will never touch again.
Right. But yet want it to do something, right? They don't, you know.
Yep.
So I said, I'll bring you dresses. So that's what I did. I came back a few months later, and I brought down dresses in every size, and shoes and clothes for the little kids and bridesmaid stuff and cake toppers and whatever you needed for a wedding, we brought down. So I brought down just a small group of mostly family members, and then this one friend that had helped me gather the wedding dresses. And we had held two weddings, okay? And it was weird. I ended up being the maid of honor. I had to like carry the train and cut the cake and sign the paper. I just sing a song. Like I was that not expecting awesome. That.
Wow.
You can't afford a wedding. We'll bring a wedding to you.
Right. We are
bring
the wedding.
A Canadian party. We'll just bring the Canadian party right to you. That's
yeah.
It's wonderful.
It was amazing. Like the bride came around the corner and like everyone's mouths dropped. They just couldn't believe what they were seeing. And they had strung toilet paper on the ceiling to make it all festive and
do with what you got, I guess. Right?
It was really neat.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Awesome. So that was just the start of it. Because as we went through that week, this woman Jana, she was showing me around to different villages. And it was guys, like it was heartbreaking, you know, children that were just, they had so much, you know, sores and infections and their bellies were sticking out and their noses were running and their hair was orange, but it should be black, you know, but they're so malnourished and some villages had no water at all. And so we sat around the table and we were like, what do we do now? Like I am messed up now. Like I can't just go home and be me. I can't.
Yeah.
So what do we do now? So we decided that we were going to fundraise some money to put a well in the one village we were in that didn't have water. And so so that's what we did. We came back and we fundraised and I just needed $5,000. And then we fundraised and we had $35,000. And I was like, oh, well, what am I going to do with this? I don't know what to do with this money. So I called up this woman, Jana, and she said, well, perfect. I just got an inheritance. I bought some land. Let's build a village. And I was like, okay, I'm in.
What are you doing tomorrow? Nothing. Let's go build a village. All right, let's go. Like,
yeah. Wow. And I knew, okay, well, I needed more money now. Right. So I started going around to different groups. Like, I would go to like a Probus Club or a Kiwanis or Rotary or churches, and I would go and I say, okay, I want your money and I want your bodies. And so because I needed people to come down and work too, yeah. Right? So well, that's what we did.
This town ain't going to build itself.
No. Good point.
Not so, how this works, people. That's okay. That's awesome.
So we started bringing down groups of people and we started bringing down tens of thousands of dollars. And so we built a village with 300 homes and a medical building. A church. We built two water cisterns and put water all through the village. We did showers and wash basins. We did a community center, and then we did a community like trade center where they could sell their goods to all of the tourists, which is us that come.
Right.
And I convinced a few people to move down there. One woman moved down and she taught the women how to make all these crafts. And then I convinced another woman to move down to, they took their whole family, actually, their two kids. And then another woman is there from Collingwood right now, actually. She's been down there for, I don't know, like 10 years now. And so she's been working on a lot of things. But so now we're currently, this started in 2002. And so we do an event every year. It's called Paintballing for Poverty. It used to be called Feed the Needy, but the feeding program is kind of self-sustaining now. So we made it Paintballing for Poverty so we could use it for like school uniforms or, you know, more stuff for the medical center, that kind of stuff. Mm. So, and that's in April. So put a plug in for that there. Come to my fundraiser in April because all the paint profits go to our mission work down there in that village.
Awesome.
So yeah, wow. So we're still involved. We started a school too. And so the school is still really going strong. And then we're also involved in two other elementary schools and a high school and an actual university college program. So we each have these kids that were running around with all the sores and malnourished are now graduating from university. Can you believe
it? Wow. Wonderful.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing.
It's a cool thing.
Wow. Like, just,
oh yeah. You got
but your next funded, generation. Funded by paintballers. Like a lot of it, right? I got a really cool story. Okay. So one time there was these people that showed up and they wanted to help. And so they started the feeding program. And we had just done our Feed the Needy. And so she called me and she said, I am, our truck broke down. We can't get food in because they had to cross a river. They said, we can't get the food in to the program. We have to buy a truck right away, but we don't have any money for a truck. We found one that would do the job for $9,000. She said, I'm just checking to see, do you happen to have any funds? And that year we had raised $9,000 at our Paintballing for Poverty. So it was really cool.
If there's a sign, that would be it.
Yes. So
$9,000, they need it. Let's go.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But anyways, it's been the paintballing community that has built a majority of this village. So it's pretty cool.
That's wonderful. That's awesome. Paintball community is always super nice. They're super giving. You can always find that spirit within those people. We've all been there. We all need a hand once in a while, but when you can give, if you're able to give, it's always nice to be able to do that and help a brother out. Everybody needs to be picked up once in a while. Sucks to be down all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone's really just going to build a village. Like that. Yep. I've always joked that paintballers tend to be just chronically charitable, almost to a fault. Like they're like, I remember a couple of years ago, every game was a charity game. Like you turn around, you trip over a charity game. There was so many of them, which is not a bad thing. I'm just saying it's just seems to be in the nature. I don't know if it's the community, if it's like just, because we're such a small group that, I don't know, we're a little more organized that way, but it's fantastic to see it having real world impact like that. Like, you know, being able to help fund a whole village and a feeding program and medical center, and just wild. It's wild, man. Mm-hmm. It's wild. So amazing.
It's a testament to the person doing it though. Like I'm looking at this chat and I'm seeing so many wonderful things that this, it can't just be one person. This is wonderful. This is just, this lady's so, I was just like, I'm so excited to have her on. I'm like, I have no idea. It's the lady from Mississauga. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. It's like, holy crap, she built a town. No one tells me these things. I don't get show notes. I don't ask for them. It's so much more fun when you get a reaction of someone going, no, this is so cool.
Yeah. I don't really look the part, right? Like I don't really look like a paintball field owner and maybe not the typical kind of field owner, but I am who I am.
What's typical?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So the chat's also blown up constantly. I've seen the Beach Boys keep popping up. Ooh. So I think we need to talk about them before they start to riot.
That they are another village we've kind of built, honestly. So yeah, Beach Boys, they've been around a long time. Like, you know, Steve was one of the original Beach Boys with his brothers way back in, you know, probably in 92. They probably went to an event. For sure they went down to Pittsburgh in 93. So the Beach Boys has evolved over the years. And so has, you know, Speedball. They did play a Speedball tournament in 93. That was on our latest, or not our latest Throwback Thursday, but like 2 weeks ago. So yeah, the Beach Boys have been around and then Mike Stanley was a big part of the Beach Boys for a long time. Those CXBL years, very involved, and organized them really well. But we had a little bit of a glitch there. So after Steve's accident in 2008, we still had a team, I believe in 2009, but we had a little bit of an upset and, our guys had called in some hired guns and they got some bad penalties and they were banned for life from the CXBL. And I was like, nope, not going to do it. I'm not doing this if I'm not represented well. So we actually stopped doing speedball for 7 years. And then I have this young man that works for me, Jarrett Bissonnette. And so Jarrett, this was in 2018. We had these young group of kids. They were, I think the youngest was 13 and the oldest was 15. And there was five of them. And so we called them the Fab Five. And so these guys were our first restart of Beach Boys again. So, and they're the guys that play the Premier Division that were ranked number one all season last year in OPL. So, and then they came in second on the last the final, which is the only one that counts, but they were number one all season. So, yeah, the poor guys. I mean, it was a pretty hard loss, but I cried. But
that's all right. It'll be better. It always comes back better.
I hope so.
Always go back. You don't learn as much by winning. That heartbreak's a real pain in the ass, though.
Yeah,
that's the way to. It's we learned a lot. Let's ignore that we lost, but we learned a lot. No.
Okay, fine.
So then, so these Fab Five, and we had another squad of kind of guys that had played, been playing, that were part of. A lot of them were our staff. So, so we put two squads in 2018, and they came in first overall. The Fab Five, the beginners. And we didn't even have a speedball field anymore. They were just playing in the woods. They were practicing in the woods. And so these guys just had some natural talent. And they were sponges. And they were hilarious. They're still hilarious. But so these guys came up 2018 and then 19, 20, 21, all up till now. So now our speedball camp went from having those two squads to now we have squads in all six divisions. And last year we had 43 of them. And I love them. Like, they're so fun and
they're hilarious.
They're great people and we have a good time. We try to win.
Young Connor Reed.
Connor Reed. Yeah.
Oh my God. He has been, I've said it on other shows. I've said it on other posts that kid is a perfect representation of you guys. He's such a sweet guy.
Yeah.
He always makes me laugh, him and his dad. So they're top notch. So
every event I've been to that he has been there, I have had to borrow a piece of kit from him, whether it's a hopper, a gun, or a tank. I've had to borrow something from him. And he was always quick to just be like, he would see me working on something and he'd just be like, stop, just take this.
Oh my God. Yeah. Last year with the mini, he's just like, please stop.
I was going to biff that thing into the lake, like into the pond at Commando. I was ready to whip the whole gun and everything into the
pond. Oh my God, that's what we're going to do this year.
No, we can't because there's snapping turtles in there.
Oh.
Oh, they'll eat the gun.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want them to get sick. So,
sounds like a good test of patience for you guys.
It's about to get mounted to a piece of board. Like, I'm going to drill holes through it and I'm going to mount it to a board so it can never be used again. Because
that could work.
It is cursed. It is also like 15 years old, but it's cursed.
I think it just needs a different owner, maybe.
I've said that. Sometimes some people get a marker and it's got a gremlin in it and you got to sell it. You got to get rid of it and send it on its next life. Some cats don't live their best life until they're owned by a second owner. You know?
There you go. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll try and sell it. I don't know. I'll see if I can find a buyer for a 2010 Invert Mini. There's somebody, I'm sure somebody
they're out there.
Yeah,
somebody out there wants it.
Yeah, for sure. We'll find something. So that's so you've got a full, like, it's not even just, oh, we have a group of people that rep the field. You have an entire like village of speedballers. Mm-hmm. It's more than just a little team of people that play together. It sounds like it's an entire thing, like a whole community. And it's
we
just,
do things
awesome.
Together outside of playing speedball. Like,
oh, that's so good. That helps so much.
Yeah.
Right.
So like, we'll do potlucks. We're going to be starting our Zoom calls. We do some training on Zoom, so we'll be starting those soon. And then we're trying to get together for a meal. And then some of the guys are even playing at our field tomorrow. We're not open, but some of them are playing there tomorrow. Jared, good sell.
I like this guy.
I love that guy.
Hey, Jared, you want to buy a mini?
I know a guy's got one real cheap.
Yeah, real cheap.
So Jared's our coach, by the way, of the Beach Boys.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's great. So he's great. We've had a couple of coaches too, like Brandon Arnstrom coached. Connor has been doing some coaching. And then we had Caleb McConnell was doing some coaching for us. I'm probably missing somebody, so we've had some great coaches, but Jared's been there since the 2018. So he's the one that made me start this whole thing. And sometimes think I should be regretting this, but not, because I know the relationships I've built with these Beach Boys is really special. So, and they do represent me really well. And yeah, and we're, I mean, we need each other, I think, too, right? So.
Oh, what is it? It takes a group to build a village, or it takes to raise a child. I don't know. It takes a village to raise a child. That's it.
That's it.
Paintball is a child to this woman, and it's taken a village to raise it. I know. I'm not so poetic.
So you gave me an idea. I might have to reach out to Jared. I would love to have a coach on, somebody to talk about what, like, ooh, how, because you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people think coaching is just like, okay, being in high school, I was in rugby, and one, we had two coaches. One coach actually played for the Loyalists, which was a really big team here. And, you know, they had members who played for Canada. And then the other coach was like in his late 50s, very unhealthy, and just yelled at us all the time. Aww. So it'd be nice to see how a paintball coach works. Like, so, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you should have him on. He'd be great.
Dan wants to have him on next week. Apparently I can't, because we already have Jennifer Montressor scheduled for next week. So that's going to be like the first PG episode of the podcast, because she doesn't like it when we swear too much. She even told us in the chat one time, she was like, sorry guys, you guys swear too much, I have to go. We're like, oh yeah, she felt bad.
She sounds like my kind of girl.
she's a very wonderful lady, and she always shows up whenever Kat is on, so we gotta warn her. Warn her right away now, like at the beginning of the show. We're like, and it's always when Kat's on, and we're just like, Jen Monterey, or we're just like,
yeah.
Fudge.
So next
Kat
week
is lovely, though.
Next week, Dan, we'll get Jared on next week.
2 weeks. Jared, you're on, buddy.
Yeah.
Jared's like, I have a life. Screw you people. Like, I'm not gonna no, I'll be there.
Right?
Yeah, so, well, most of his life is with us, right? And we're not on the field right now, so he's got time. Now's got the time to get him.
He's got time, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that'll be cool. That'll be really awesome. So we're getting near the end. So Donna, is like, let's promote some stuff. Let's talk about like what do you got coming up? Who do you want to shout out? What do you want to show? Like, just plug everything. Let's go.
You got... birthday Wolf, by the way.
Oh yeah, it's
Wolf's birthday.
It's Wolf's birthday today.
No way.
Yeah. So everybody, wishing
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Wolfie.
Happy birthday to you. Wow, we go way back. Gosh, I don't even know if he'll remember when the first time he came to our field. But yeah, Wolf will be at big game. Nightmare PB is planning on coming to our big game. And then I think Tom Guest is coming to Frosty's, which is
that's cool,
in March. And then so we've so big game is August 16th. Mm-hmm. Frosty's is, or 17th, I think 17th. And then Frosty's is March 16th. So those are our two things that are coming up. Our Paintballing for Poverty is the third weekend in April, whatever that date is. And so those things that I would love, if you guys can come to those three things, I'd be super, super happy.
I would love to.
But gas is
$1.58 a liter.
I have decided I am going to the big game. Come.
We will make August work.
Yeah, that's it. I'm making it work. We'll be seeing you, because I've always wanted to go. I've said it 100 times. It's now time for me to go to get the next one off my bucket list. Is going to Wasaga Beach, and
nice. I will make it worth your while.
That's not even a question. The company's already been fantastic. I can't imagine the real life hospitality.
Yeah, I'll be done my internship long before August, so awesome. I'll be able to make that work for sure. Well, time wise, anyways, we'll make it work. It doesn't matter. We're gonna make it work.
Doesn't matter. Don't worry about it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. We're gonna go. So,
You know, it's fun for people, if people want to bring their friends that don't want to play paintball and they don't want to get shot, and they're around my area. But we do a zombie thrill ride in October, every Saturday in October. And you ride on this wagon into the deep dark woods, and you shoot glow in the dark paintballs at real live zombies. And we have three zones with about seven zombies in each zone. And it's super fun. So you can bring your kids, you can bring your family, you know, people that have a completely strange idea of what paintball is. They can see and kind of get a feel for it. And we also do a walk through the woods with gel blasters, which is totally fun. Very, very fun.
That sounds so much fun. I would love it. That's Moncton needs to do that. Like Moncton mm-hmm. needs to do a something like for Halloween. That needs to be a thing, man. He needs to get that going. Let's talk to him. We'll talk to the gas man.
Yeah.
And for sure. Jared's talking about where to go. I just lost it. RJ1K.
Yeah. It's one of our Beach Boys.
Doing a GoFundMe for OPL's MVP.
Oh yeah, that's a good thing to talk about for sure. So doing a GoFundMe. Yes. So you can find that on Facebook. And so they do actually that OPL's been great. You know, it's been a great tournament series. And so RJ1K has decided to do the MVP for it. And then they did an all-star game for OPL too. So that was very fun. But you can find that fundraiser on Facebook. There's a link. So
awesome. Yeah. So it's in the comments there, but it's facebook.com/RJ1K paintball. Go check that out. That's super
very
cool.
Good. Thanks, Daniel.
And go help them out. Because, the OPL is great. I've had, oh my God, his name is escaping me.
Derek Welts.
Yes, Derek. I've had him on a couple of times, actually, to talk about the OPL and everything behind it. And it's fascinating. It's so amazing how, people don't realize what it takes in the background to get these things going.
Right,
they think, oh, I'm just going to run a tournament. It's like, it does not work that way.
Yeah.
So
no, he does it pretty well, actually. I'm impressed. So he told me that he wanted to start at the OPL because he used to play in our Sunday showdowns. We used to have on Sundays, we would do a tournament and you would win a Sunday from Dairy Queen. That was what you'd win.
We call them Sunday showdowns. Savage. I would be an absolute savage on the pool. If you come to me, you'd be like, you're playing for a pint of ice cream. We're like, I am a step on faces.
Yeah. Butterscotch Sunday from DQ is a pretty good reason to fight. I don't care who you are. So
So
that was really fun. But I wanted to tell something else. So I did bring something. So this is from this is our first annual Beach Blitz. We didn't really talk about Beach Blitz, but there's lots of people that love to talk about Beach Blitz. And so that was our old logo. And then this is one of our very first big games. We did a big game with, what's his name? He does the scenarios from down in the States, Wayne Jolick. So he was our first big game. I think we did two or three with him, and then we started doing our own. And I'm pretty sure Storming the Beach was one of the first ones.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's cool. So, and we're working on building a new field this year as well. Kind of over beside our GI town. We're usually every year we upgrade something or rebuild a whole field. So that's our plan for this year.
That is something every paintball field should they need to learn that. We've got fields out east here that have not updated in 15 years.
Oh, easily. Easily.
Yeah, right. So I just that is one thing.
You have to reinvest.
100%. And that's we Maritimers have a bad habit of they go, I'm going to keep prices low. Well, you need to reinvest the money into the field. Yeah, but then I have to raise prices on paint. Then raise the price on the paint. Make the field worth it. Mm-hmm. People will pay for the paint. They'll pay the entry if it means that your field's not a death trap.
If you don't upgrade, it's just a slow death, really, right? Like, you have to be upgrading and you have to be reinventing things and making things new because you want to be able to keep those, right?
Right, 100%. Are we sure this is
Yes, sure, we'll come up north.
Yes, yeah, come on up north. We'll show you Canadian hospitality. Mm-hmm. All the whiskey and maple syrup.
Poutines.
And poutines.
Oh, poutine. We're serving that actually at Frosty's.
It's a cold day and it's a good to serve the poutine.
Yeah,
yep.
Keep
right.
Everybody yep. full, their bellies full.
The only thing, though, if you come up from the States and if you tell me you're looking for a poutine, I'm going to slap you.
Oh, not for the first time. Some just don't know better.
We'll see how angry I am at the moment.
What you keep me here for?
Exactly. He balances me out. But that's
is
it,
there
folks.
A Tim's at Frosty's?
Is there a Tim's at Frosty's?
You know what? We used to bring in Tim's coffee. We do serve coffee and hot chocolate, but not Tim's. It is down the road if you want to pick one up before.
The hell with them. Just Folgers in a can. That's enough for a good pay. Bring your own cream and sugar, guys. Don't expect them to serve your own cream and sugar.
Natalie makes the coffee. She's pretty good.
Then you know what? I've got a cup right here. Let's cheers and bless Natalie for making the coffee.
Way to go, Natalie.
Amazing. I would love you. I would be right attached to her, just being like, please make me more coffee.
Just IV it into me. Just run an IV into me and I'll run with it.
And on that highly caffeinated bombshell.
Very caffeinated bombshell. This is my second one in 4 hours. I'm running on a buzz. I can see time. Folks, thank you so much for coming out to like and share and comment and make this comment stream has been nonstop. It's amazing. I love the conversations that are happening in here. Donna, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this absolutely insane journey that you've been on. Like,
well, thanks for asking.
We've just scratched the surface. We're going to have you back. Because we'd
love to be back. Sure, anytime. Sure. Although not between May and November. I'm too busy.
there's business, but that's but we're going to talk to you in August.
That's business.
Right? I'll see you in August.
There that's we go. It. Maybe we'll try and catch you for like 3 or 4 minutes and just quick fire a bunch of questions at you.
Yeah.
No, I will find you. I will find you.
Amazing. Okay, folks, it's been a blast. Thank you so much. One last thing that I wanted to announce while everyone is still kicking around here. We are relaunching our Patreon page. Basically, we've decided that the podcast, needs a little bit of not help, but it's expensive to run this thing. So we've decided that we're going to relaunch the Patreon page. I've dropped the link in the chat, but apparently it's erroring out for some reason. So we'll share that out. But it's just patreon.com/maritimepaintballpodcast. If you feel like the podcast is something worth supporting, it's as little as a dollar a month. And we're going to have perks and whatnot throughout the year are going to happen. So that's it, folks. It's been a blast. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And until next week, cheers.